KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The gas industry, led by Portland General Electric and Northwest Innovation Works, is attempting to increase the Pacific Northwest's carbon-intensive fracked gas consumption by building the world's largest methanol refinery in Kalama, Washington. The Northwest is one of the last areas that stands squarely between the hungry energy markets and its natural deposits of coal, oil, and natural gas. We have with us today on the phone and in-depth Jasmine Zimmer-Stuckey, Senior Organizer for the Columbia River Keeper, and Tarika Powell, Senior Research Associate at the Sightline Institute. You there?
Yes, we are.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Welcome, Jasmine, and welcome, Tarika. Where do we even begin with this? It seems just like something out of a dystopian adventure. I feel like all of us have said this 12 times, if not 12,000 times in the newsroom, where we're at right now. Why is this even proposed in the first place?
Where the place where we're at right now is basically the Northwest. As you said in your introduction, we are standing squarely between fossil fuel deposits in the interior of the continent and their intended markets in Asia. And basically we're at a turning point where we have to decide whether or not we are going to become a large fossil fuel exporting hub or whether or not we're going to continue on a path to clean energy sources. And the fossil fuel industry right now is trying to give the Northwest Coast a Gulf Coast makeover. And the reason being that the majority of fossil fuels in the country right now are transported from the Gulf Coast. It would be much cheaper for them to transport it from the Pacific Northwest. So even though we don't have the same resources that they have in the Gulf Coast, right now we face the same risk simply because of our location. And that's why we are seeing these large proposals like the methanol terminal that we're going to be talking about tomorrow evening.
So what it boils down to is cheaper postage. It's not even that we have a lot of great resources. It's just they could get it done cheaper and faster.
Exactly. It's just saving money on shipping. And that's why we face these risks. These cities and ports in the Northwest are basically being looked at as what the industry calls, the methanol industry calls surrogates. Sort of like a person who would carry a baby for someone else is a surrogate. These ports are called methanol surrogates. Natural gas, which is the product that methanol is derived from, is four times cheaper here in the U.S. than it is in China. So it just costs them less money to produce it here at these quote-unquote surrogate cities and then to export it. Now, the downside for us is, of course, the burden on our resources and the pollution that will be produced by these mega plants.
Oh, goodness. Well, gross for the terms that they're coming up with. I feel like we're just getting lots of lackluster misogynistic labels for things today, like surrogate ports and mother of all bomb type stuff, like as if we don't have to deal with, the female race doesn't have to deal with enough. Can you give us some numbers about the amount of pollution, as if those with common sense would need them? Say the refinery does get okayed, what would that mean?
So the refinery, the methanol refinery that's proposed in Kalama, Washington, would be the world's largest methanol refinery. So let that sink in with folks. The world's largest in one of Washington's smallest towns, one of the smallest towns along the Columbia River, becoming home to the world's largest methanol refinery. It would consume so much fracked natural gas every day that Washington's gas consumption would increase by 38%. So by over a third, Washington's gas consumption would just skyrocket, creating a whole new demand for fracking, more demand for the pipeline industry, and really just locking our entire region into fossil fuel consumption, because when we consume more in one, it just creates a sort of domino effect of how we structure our energy systems if we go the route of allowing this methanol project to go in.
Wow, I'm kind of speechless about that. Natalie, thoughts?
I'm just as speechless as you are. the way
it's going. How is the permitting process involved in this. I imagine that's a large part of the proposals, and I'm really curious, and I'm sure our listeners are curious too, about how that factors in.
Yeah, this is also a really fascinating piece of the component. Normally, the permitting process is not the most fascinating, but in this particular instance with the Klamath Methanol Refinery, the two lead agencies on creating the environmental impact statement, which is the document that you know we're supposed to base all of our understanding of the process and the project on, the two proponents. The two entities who helped create that document were the Port of Klamath and Cowlitz County, the two entities that also that seek to gain the most financially if this project were permitted and if it did move forward. So the environmental review process was very narrow and came to some conclusions that, that you know, environmentalists and community members in Klamath don't agree with, because the folks who wrote the report happens to be very much in favor of the project. So it's a project that, unlike many of the fossil fuel projects in the Pacific Northwest we've seen, this one has moved through the permitting process at a relatively faster pace than what we've seen for the coal and oil terminals, because the review was so narrow.
Wow. So, where are we at in the approval process right now for this terminal?
Yeah, so we are looking at all eyes are on Washington's Department of Ecology, which is the equivalent to Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality. We are waiting for them to make a ruling on the land use permit that the county wanted to move forward with. If Ecology agrees with the county and moves forward, then the project gets a major green light. If Ecology does its job and enforces, you know, environmental protections and says, you know, a project that has this large of an impact on our climate just shouldn't, you know, needs a better review and turns down the county's approval, then we have a place to really have a better understanding of the environmental impacts of a project like this. So it's moving quickly, but it's not, there are still opportunities left for residents of the Pacific Northwest to get involved and stop the project.
And what kind of just overall impacts on the climate and the environment and the waterways would that cause if the refinery was, you know, underway?
Well, one of the impacts is that the project at Klamath would draw 5 million gallons of water per day. These methanol refineries that are being proposed would be using 2,500 gallons of water every single minute.
Wow.
It would be a tremendous strain on our water resources, the diesel particulate matter pollution that they would create. This is the type of pollution that comes from if you see a large 18-wheeler truck on the road and you see a big stack of smoke coming out of it, that's diesel particulate pollution. These types of factories, these methanol refineries, would be producing five times more of that diesel particulate pollution than the state guidelines for air toxics. Those are just two of the very concerning impacts of these methanol proposals.
Wow. That's
I just feel choked up just thinking about that. I like fresh air, personally.
It's a good thing to have.
It's a really great
fresh
thing
air
to
is
have.
It's becoming a non-renewable resource at this time.
You're right. You know, I mean, right. First, you know, were the reports of no more helium, so no more birthday balloons. I don't know if anybody heard about that. Now it's like clean air. I really feel like this would be
over.
A really great time for people to start focusing on resources and that they aren't just, you know, renewable all the time.
Yeah.
How is the governor of Washington standing on this project? Has there been any commentary or press releases about that?
Yeah, so Governor Inslee is largely believed to be, you know, Washington's great governor. He actually wrote a book on climate change. But he, a few years ago, made the mistake of coming out in favor of this project. And I think that, you know, largely that's because, you know, he was misled to in the myth that, you know, many folks were caught up in, you know, a decade ago that told us that natural gas is a bridge fuel. It's lower pollution than coal. It's going to alleviate, you know, our climate crisis. If we just get off coal and switch to natural gas, then we will have, you know, solved our climate crisis and in a quick and easy way. And the simple reality is that's not true anymore. And maybe, Tarika, you can speak to some of the methane emissions and the risks that come about because of that.
Yeah, there's this concept of natural gas as a bridge fuel that is something that's going to be a bridge for us to go from our dependence on fossil fuels to a clean energy future. This is a concept that was first put forward actually by environmentalists back in the 70s. If we had converted some of our dirtier fuels like coal to natural gas back then, it could have served as a bridge to a cleaner energy future. Now we are at that point where we have gone so far in the air emissions that we have created that we actually don't have the time period to use natural gas as a bridge. Right now is the future in which we need to immediately begin an aggressive transition to cleaner fuels. And so one of the messages that we're trying to get out to people is that these large projects that are using more natural gas, increasing natural gas usage, are things that we do not want to lock ourselves into because we simply do not have that time frame to sort of continue to play around with our climate. We need to be looking towards clean fuels. And one of the things we're going to talk about tomorrow is how the perception that natural gas is a clean fuel is a false perception, especially today where 75% of the natural gas we produce in this country comes from fracking. So we are actually in a different landscape than we were when we first had that concept of a bridge fuel. And so we're going to really be tomorrow tackling some of the myths and bringing out some of the actual facts about natural gas infrastructure and why we really want to be heading in a different direction.
I have we have just a couple minutes left, but I wanted to get in a question tying off of the urgency of switching to different energy. You know, we did have a time period where we could have relied on other sources, but now definitely as far as our environment is concerned, it's at a point of crisis. And a lot of folks deal the argument of, well, this will bring jobs, you know, so It's kind of like we have to cut our losses. Sure, we don't have clean air, but we need to put bread on the table. Can you answer for our audience what kind of infrastructure build out would be required in this project, whether that really would contribute to the economy in any way?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid question. And I there's no doubt that, you know, this facility, if it were built, would create jobs. They're saying between 180 and 192 jobs. And, you know, groups like Columbia Riverkeeper and folks in the local climate community aren't saying that this industrial site where the facility is proposed should be, you know, locked up in a conservation easement or become a wildlife refuge. You know, we're not taking it off the table for industrial development altogether. We want to put on the table smart industrial development that doesn't come at the expense of our air pollution, our water consumption, our gas consumption, our climate future.
And health,
right? And so we aren't, advocating that no facility go there. We just want the right facility to go there. We have enough science to prove that we need to get away from fossil fuels. And so this project is essentially anti-science. That's our take. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are all out of time. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to talk to our audience about the refinery and go in depth with that and really weigh the pros and cons and make it really clear that clean air is really important in the long term. We need that or we can't be alive. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And if people want to learn a little more, we've got a presentation tomorrow at Central Lutheran at 7 p.m. In Northeast Portland.
All right, please join them, Central Lutheran, 7 p.m. tomorrow. Be a part of this movement. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Tarika.
Thank you.
Thanks.